So we Hey, Colin's a jobbing off my Chinese house. 2 days in my spyglass, 5 years a mouse. So silly, nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yinhu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 18. It's the Little Things, December 3rd, 2013. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yinhu Chaoyuan, Silver Lake Tea House. Today's episode will feature segments titled Double Happiness, The Back Porch, The Front Porch, A Little Bit of Learning, and Gratitude Journal. Show notes for this episode can be found on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. This week, I heard from listeners Zany Janie, who is Jane from New York, New York, Silly Nilly, Lori from Hollywood, Kent from Kent, Washington, Cousin Rachel from Bozeman, Montana, who takes a break from her spreadsheets to listen to the podcast, and Thread Wench, who is Vicky from Cleveland. I'd also like to give a shout out to Fernanda from Connecticut, my new pen pal. On November 30th, I closed the side dish contest and selected the winner, who will receive Cactus Bloom Fingering Weight Yarn from BZB Fibers. There were 20 entries, and my random number generator selected number 10, who is Seductive Barry, Maria from Colorado. Maria posted that, being a vegetarian, the side dishes are the main event on any harvest table, and she had a difficult time choosing between braised kale and twice-baked potatoes. They both sound delicious. Maria, please send me a PM on Ravelry with your address so I can send your yarn out to you. And thank you to everyone who participated in the side dish contest. We have a new contest beginning today and closing on January 4th. It's called The Little Things. I don't know about you, but December can be an exciting and also a very stressful time. The days are shorter. In most places, it's starting to grow colder. There's a lot of stress surrounding the holidays, and fitting in all the fun things that we want to do can actually be a little bit stress-inducing. So this contest asks you to post, what is something little that you do to maintain your sanity and stay relaxed during the holiday season? Sherry of Spinners End Farm is contributing a little care package of a lotion bar, some goat's milk soap, lip balm, a couple of goodies to keep you feeling pampered during the cold, dark days of January. So get on over to the Ravelry thread and post your response about something little you do to keep your momentum during the month of December, and I'll choose the winner on January 4th. If you're looking for stocking stuffer ideas, Sherry has a host of really wonderful handmade products on her Etsy shop, Spinners End Farm. So I encourage you to check out her shop and maybe pick out a few things for folks on your holiday gift list. Double happiness. Well, if you're like me, there's no double happiness better than the returns on a well-cooked Thanksgiving meal. I haven't really put much energy into cooking a meal since I made our Thanksgiving meal last Thursday. We've been surviving on leftovers, and it seems that no matter how many ideas I have for leftovers, I can never get through all of them before the turkey is gone and the leftover stuffing and mashed potatoes are gone. So I think I'm going to have to start coming up with some menu ideas pretty soon. One thing that's so important, especially if you invest a lot of money like we did in an organically raised free-range turkey, is to make a stock with the turkey carcass following Thanksgiving. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that Yinhu is a very small house. And in the very small house, I have a very, very small kitchen. with a teeny tiny apartment-sized stove and oven. So in order to cook a full Thanksgiving meal, I need to get creative about how to cook the turkey and all the side dishes at the same time. And the solution we've come up with is to grill our turkey on our Big Green Egg. The Big Green Egg is a ceramic grill. It's a charcoal grill. And we use a ceramic contraption into which you can pour cider, beer, really any kind of liquid. And that helps moisten the turkey as it cooks quite quickly over a charcoal fire out of doors. And that frees my stove and my oven up for cooking all of the other parts of the meal. One drawback to this solution is that there's no way to make a turkey stock that day because there are no pan drippings or pan juices to make a gravy. So in order to have gravy for Thanksgiving, I need to roast a chicken the week prior. But after Thanksgiving, making a turkey stock is one of my favorite things to do. And somehow roasting in that grill, the stock gets this wonderful smoky flavor. I add it to risotto. I use it to make soups. And I really pack my freezer with as many bags of turkey stock as I possibly can. On the subject of stocking your freezer, it is highly economical and frugal to keep your freezer as full as possible at all times, especially if you are prone to power outages in the area where you live, because a full freezer will stay frozen and preserve food longer, even when your power is out, than a partially empty freezer. So making turkey stock, filling Ziploc bags with the stock, and saving them for a later time, if you can wait that long, is an excellent and frugal way to make Thanksgiving last as long as you possibly can. The back porch. Last week, I talked about making a capuchin hat for Samuel for Christmas on the sly, and I liked the hat so much that this week I made two more. The pattern is by Adela Ilikmanova. It's a free pattern on Ravelry, and there are two sizes. I didn't mention this last week. There are two sizes for the hat. One size calls for chunky yarn and a size 10 needle, and the other size calls for extra chunky or super chunky yarn and a size 8 needle. I had what I thought was chunky yarn, but I didn't know the difference between chunky and super chunky, so I decided to use the smaller pattern with fewer stitches and a size 9 needle because that's what I had. And the hats came out great. They fit wonderfully, and it's the kind of hat that doesn't need a very close fit. It's also nice that this hat extends down over your ears, so it's pretty warm, especially in a chunky yarn. I was given a gift over the summer of some Plymouth Yarn Baby Alpaca. This is wonderfully smushy, soft yarn. It came in three colors, a purple, a gray, and a white, a winter white with some sparkle spun into it. And I used all three colors to make a hat with a glorious pom-pom on top and also some tassels on the sides. Then I decided I would gift that hat back to the person who gave me the yarn. So I kept knitting and came up with an idea for a hat for me. I used Queensland Kathmandu in a fuchsia color, Noro Iroh, which I love. Oh, the colors are so amazing. It's a multicolored yarn, and this has fuchsia, acid green, rust orange, grays, blacks, a little bit of yellow. And then I used some of the remaining Ella Ray Chunky in black that I used for Samuel's hat. I also made a gigantic pom-pom and some nice tassels with the Queensland Kathmandu. If I were ever to suggest a pattern for a beginning knitter who knew how to knit but wanted to make something with a lot of presence, something pretty extraordinary, I would suggest this hat because there are actually a lot of skills and it's not a very difficult piece to make. There's ribbing, there's garter ridge, there's joining and knitting stockinette in the round, decreases, making a pom-pom, and making tassels. And you can use all variety of chunky yarn and the project goes pretty quickly. So I think a beginner would feel pretty satisfied with this product. It's a great gift or a great thing to make for yourself or have in a lot of different colors. If you're looking for a project as a beginning knitter or to suggest to someone who's a beginner, I recommend the Capuchine Hat by Adela Ilikhmanova. Something else that I finished over the holiday weekend is my complete set of ornamittens. These are little mitten ornaments. I'm making them in singles, not in pairs. The pattern is by Loretta Dachman, and I used Red Heart Heart and Soul sock yarn in the Christmas colorway and size 2 DPNs. I made a total of 15 mittens, and I've attached them to handmade cards. In the background of each card, I have pasted some ripped out portions of a German book of poetry. And the lettering is really cool, and the paper is highly damaged, so it looks distressed and interesting. And then I punched a couple of holes and just sewed the mitten in so it can be easily removed. And then inside of each card, I put a little hook so the mitten can be hung as an ornamitten on the tree or in your office or wherever you need a little holiday cheer. I can't wait to send those out. The front porch. As I mentioned in the last episode, I've been eagerly awaiting the start of the Advent scarf. This is a scarf that's knit during the Advent season, starting on December 1st and going to December 24th, and the pattern is put out by Zemi. She's Zemi on Ravelry, and she is Trish Weatherston and a member of the Mountain Knits and Purls knitting group. She also teaches classes there. And she is one of the two hosts of Sock Madness. There's a Sock Madness group on Ravelry, and you can go there to find out more information about the Sock Madness contest. This Advent scarf is not a contest. It is put out by Zemi, and she explained her objective in one of her posts, that she thinks about the holiday season and thinks about all of these women, many of them mothers, many of them working, going crazy to put together a nice holiday for their family. And she likes to think of herself, I think of her as like a little elf, but she likes to think of herself as someone who gives the gift of some appropriately challenging and satisfying holiday knitting that folks can sit down to each evening and work out a pattern over the course of the month. So in December, each night around midnight, Little Elf Zemi puts a piece of the pattern in an email and sends it so you can print out the chart and work on it the following day. In the past, her patterns have featured cabling, but this one, as I mentioned, is a stranded knitting pattern. And what that means is you're holding two strands of yarn, one in each hand, during the course of all of the knitting. There are three colors total. I selected Harrisville Designs Shetland in the colors Hemlock, Golden, and White. So it's a very deep forest green, a kind of goldenrod green, yellow, and a winter white. And you're only ever knitting with two colors at the same time. And each pattern chart has about 15 rows. And then there's a divider chart of three rows to knit each day. Zemi sent out a lot of information before the start of the Advent scarf. And one of the links included something about yarn dominance. And I learned that there really is a difference in your finished product when you hold different colors in different hands. So it's important to think about which color you want to pop in your pattern and which color you want to be in the background. The resulting scarf, if you follow the directions every day, will be about 60 inches. It's done with a provisional cast on, and there are a number of different finishing ideas. Some people are already experimenting with finishing ideas at the start of the scarf that they will complete then at the end. It is so much fun to watch all of the different photos pop up on the Ravelry thread and see the different colors folks have chosen and the different ways that they're completing their knitting and the stories of what they did all day and how they're getting to their knitting on the Advent scarf. It's a lot of fun. I'm learning a lot, even though I don't have very much experience with stranded knitting. I don't know if I will be able to complete every day as written. There might be some catch-up days. There's also some exit strategies and some easier patterns if you need an easy day. So I'd like to thank Zemi for all of the work that she puts into this Advent scarf, cheering everyone on as they post their photos on Ravelry, patiently answering all the questions that they have about the pattern, and really keeping us company during our holiday knitting. A little bit of learning. Working on this Advent scarf reminded me of the Advent calendars I was so fond of as a child. It seems to me that we had at least one Advent calendar in our home every year when I was growing up, and I don't think my parents purchased them for us. I think they were usually gifts from my grandparents or maybe aunts and uncles. And they typically featured a beautiful snowy scene, a kind of secular scene. Often it would be horses and a sleigh, or maybe a little town with a church. There was often glitter, and then hidden within the photograph or the image would be 24 little doors. And you would open the paper doors, and inside would be usually another little picture. And sometimes these pictures would have religious scenes in them or sometimes Bible verses. And one year we had a calendar from Germany that featured a piece of chocolate inside the door each day. I remember that being a big hit and my sister and I arguing over who got the chocolate each day. I decided to do a little bit of research into the topic of the Advent calendar because I was wondering how long have these been around and when did they originate? So it turns out that counting down or anticipating the days until Christmas is a very old tradition, and the Advent calendar will often overlap with the Christian season of Advent. However, Advent can start as early as the end of November, and traditionally Advent calendars begin on December 1st. The kind of calendar we see today originated with German Lutherans in the early 19th century. Before that, hanging religious pictures each day, lighting candles, or even making some kind of chalk lines would be a way to indicate the days of Advent leading up until Christmas. Advent wreaths were often a private family practice as early as the 17th century. And the first printed calendar was made in Hamburg in 1902 by a Protestant bookshop. Or it was made in 1908. Gerhard Lange is often credited with coming up with the first commercially available Advent calendar. And that was 24 pictures affixed to cardboard. Later calendars featured little doors, and Bible verses, candy, chocolate, or even toys were not unusual inside an Advent calendar. The practice lagged a little bit in the years in World War II. It had been popular in the 30s. And after World War II, Richard Selmer of Stuttgart unveiled the commercial calendar, and popularity has surged in the years following World War II. I did a search on Google for images of vintage advent calendars, and I swear I saw some images of the very ones we had in our home as children. I feel the same sense of anticipation with this advent scarf, and it's nice to return to that childhood sense of wonder and excitement, not knowing what the next pattern chart will bring. Gratitude Journal. One of the great things about being a high school teacher is that on occasion, students from the past will contact you and let you know about the incredible things that they're doing in college or even in their life of work beyond college. And a few weeks ago, I was contacted by a former student named Divya. She graduated from the high school where I teach and entered Princeton. Divya is currently spending a semester in London, and one of her courses is a sonic arts technique class. She's working on a final project, and she asked if I could read a passage. Apparently, she's asking all variety of folks to record themselves saying a passage aloud, and then they're going to be mixing it, adding effects. I can't wait to see what the final product is. But she sent me a passage from Henry David Thoreau and asked me to make a recording and send it off to her. So I think it's a lovely passage. It hasn't snowed a lot here in the Delaware Water Gap area yet, but we're anticipating snow, and I think this is a lovely little reading to close our show today. The snow falls on no two trees alike, but the forms it assumes are as various as those of the twigs and leaves which receive it. They are, as it were, predetermined by the genius of the tree. So one divine spirit descends alike on all, but bears a particular fruit in each. The divinity subsides on all men, as the snowflakes settle on the fields and ledges and takes the form of the various clefts and surfaces on which it lodges.
Acorns are jobbing off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider liking the show's Facebook page or joining the Yarns at Yin Hu group on Ravelry. You can also leave a rating or a review on iTunes. The music in today's episode is Sweet. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Crystal Long and Cesar Diaz. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Kurt sings a bird out on a wire. It's a sway nature thing. It's a sway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine.
Jonathan.